More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody.
Oh, God.
What happened? What's wrong?
I want you to pretend you're a newspaper columnist for sports.
Okay. Got to come with the takes.
And you're in a city. You've been there for a very long time. You're well established.
Well established.
Everybody's telling you your city has terrible sports fans. What column do you think you would be writing?
LA's the best sports town in America.
Bill Plaschke, come on down.
What's the headline? Read me the headline.
Ignore the out of town trolls. Los Angeles sports fans are the nation's best.
I mean, it's literally the worst sports city in America.
Ooh.
Maybe Miami. Touche. The second worst sports city in America.
They left an NBA finals game.
They did. You're not wrong.
Although
I stand corrected.
Leaving early from big sports games is not just Miami.
No, that happens quite often around
NFC title game, Green Bay Packers.
Anybody leave early in that game?
Seemed out of hand and an onside kick. No.
12s would never.
Now we're running back in to try to get in.
12s would never. Diehards. They live and breathe it, okay?
I mean, L.A. sports fans are so bad that when they don't even live in L.A., they go to soccer games over their Game 7 World Series games. That's how bad L.A. sports fans are.
You're telling me they're
not good.
Not good fans?
They don't care.
On par for Bill Plaschke. I could have guessed that was coming from a mile away. I have some odds and ends in the NFL I want to get to this hour. One team we have never seen this big of an underdog in the history of the NFL. I will explain that in a little bit. I do want to go, the college football offseason has been fascinating for me. It's nauseating in terms of the headlines that you have to go through. Everybody's just like, can we please just play football? And we got a little taste of it last week, and it'll pick back up tomorrow night. Colorado, Georgia Tech, nice little under-the-radar game in Atlanta tomorrow night. Can Deion, by the way, is in the middle of testifying in his son's bankruptcy trial for $11 million from beating up a security guard, I think it was, at his high school. I can't remember the full backstory. So he's having to testify in that case this week, and so there's this whole thing hanging over. But they play tomorrow. And this one made me chuckle because I was thinking back to, and it's going to lead to a question about this upcoming season. This is a quote from Will Hammond, who is going to be the Texas Tech starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Coming to Corvallis, Oregon, a week from Saturday. He will be in Corvallis, Oregon.
God bless the beaver.
And his quote was, he said his head coach told him, what's the fun in competing when no one's hating on you? He straight up said, Will, people have been doubting you. If Sorsby was still our quarterback, we'd be in the top 5 preseason rankings. Because it's you, we're number 12.
He's not wrong.
And I first off, it's a great way to kind of motivate your guy, right? Put a little bit of chip on his shoulder. But it took me to a place, so thinking about the narrative in college football, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, and then fast-forwarding to today, and it almost feels like we've already forgotten that controversy and moved on to the next controversy of, for the majority of the offseason, the evil villain of the sport was who?
Texas Tech.
It was Texas Tech.
It was.
It's not even close. We were all yelling about, you can't play this guy. This is a rule you cannot break. And now we're on the eve of the full season kicking off, and it almost feels like they're a forgotten footnote of the offseason. And maybe that's not the case for everybody, but I did want to spend a moment and ask the question of, who are our biggest villains in college football this year?
Well, the funny thing is, what you're noting is right. I'd also argue they were the villain who took away the villain role from Lane. Lane they were the villain and said, give it back, baby.
I want people talking about me again.
Lane wants Lane in the headlines. And so Lane's been a villain twice now, and Texas Tech was a big villain.
How do I make myself more unlikable? I'm going to go get NFL players on my team.
I think a lot of this has to do with your conference affiliation.
Without a doubt.
Of this has to do with your rival. Who are people I don't like in the sport or that I find myself rooting against? Belichick, because I've been on the opinion since his NFL run ended that he's washed. He's not elite anymore.
You see that defense on Saturday, though, huh? Look at that Belichick Hallmark defense,
boy,
man.
15-10. I'm riding home with a 15-10
dominant
result.
Dominant dub from the defense.
Belichick and UNC, mainly because, like, you know, he didn't really do anything to me. It just was like, I'm just sticking more with an opinion of, I don't think the guy's elite anymore. Yeah. This is normal in every sport and every facet of our life. You get to an age, and guess what? You lose your fastball. Other people are better than you. It happens.
Yes, it does.
Dabo will always be a villain to me. There's nothing he can go against Lane, and I'll still not like him. The whole I'll quit when they make money and they, you know, this portal business is stupid.
Yeah.
Okay, dude, you could have rode high on those two titles, kept building, and instead you chose to sit in your own ego.
I saw there was some noise from Clemson fan yesterday about his comments of like, I appreciate this. It's nice to know in a press conference he still has his fastball, but like, we are so tired of this shtick, like the Clemson way.
The holier than thou.
Holier than thou. Yeah, and it was Clemson fan just saying like, if that's the way you want to run a program, dude, go coach at the FCS level. Money's not as big of a deal. Guys are still transferring, but go to a lower level if you want some pure form of college football.
Lane is in it because I could not believe somebody would choose to do that to the team.
Right.
I can't even pretend to know what that's got to be like to be in a locker room for a season with a team, and then before that journey is done, you just in the dead of night say,
deuces.
See ya.
Deuces.
Right as they're at their biggest moment of the season. I just cannot ever
the irony
square
of
that.
It, too. Did you remember his quote? We played it yesterday on the show. His quote about adding NFL guys back to his roster, he said, I went to the leadership council on our team, and everything I do in coaching is built around what's best for the players and how do I best serve the players. That was literally his answer yesterday, to which everybody pointed out, wait a minute.
5 months ago.
Wait a minute.
6 months ago.
You just didn't coach a team in the college football playoff who had a chance to win a national championship. They're a player two away from beating Miami and going to the title game. So, like, stop with that talking out of both sides of your mouth.
And now, Lincoln. Who you and I debated what was this going to be. And I was like, here we go, man. USC is going to be back, and they have not been back. And his refusal to acknowledge anything, and you know, he sits in his own ego himself. I think those are my four biggest ones right now. Texas Tech was.
Is Texas Tech, so they're not one anymore for you? They kind of fell by
really
the wayside?
They weren't. I mean, like, how many programs?
Cody Campbell and the Sorsby stuff? Is it just water
but Cody
under
Campbell
the bridge?
Doesn't coach or play. Like,
no,
I know he's
not.
A part of it. He boosts it, but like, there's a lot of terrible boosters out there. He's just maybe the loudest.
Yeah, that's true.
Texas Tech wasn't quite a villain, mainly because I didn't like what they were doing. I thought they should have not allowed it. But also, ask yourself this. How many big-time college football programs don't do that? Does your team do it?
I'd like to say no, but...
If Dante's involved in something and there's some judge that sides with him and says he can play, like you're telling me Oregon's saying, no, we have higher standards. You're telling me Washington's not doing it, Oklahoma, Alabama, like
we need a starting quarterback this year. He's a pretty good starting quarterback this year. We're gonna go ahead and play him.
To their credit, they don't put themselves in that situation, right? They're not getting quarterbacks with questionable backgrounds in that sense, but I had a hard time getting so upset that he became a villain in my mind because of how many teams in college football would be doing probably the same thing.
Yeah, it's hard to come up with a longer list than that. The only other one I'll throw on there, and I don't know if people are there with him or not, there is a vibe. I'll connect two guys a little bit because I think they're similar in the way that they always find a way to kind of make an excuse when things don't go their way. Lincoln Riley is certainly this for me, and I argued this on Monday on the show. I thought it was on display again this weekend. Instead of just coming on after the game and saying, look, that's not good enough, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We have a standard at USC and giving up 26 points. I don't care who's on the field. The standard is the standard. You play to the standard, and that's not good enough. We're going to clean it up. We're going to coach it up. And it's a great thing to have a teaching moment coming out of a comfortable win, but then somehow didn't look great at the end of the game. And instead it's, well, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like we weren't up 35-3 before we put our four stringers in. And you're always finding a way to excuse things that don't look perfect or go your way. Another guy in that category for me is Steve Sarkisian. Steve Sarkisian at Texas, it seems like every time something...
Sark is a good one. That's a really good one. Because I'm tired of hearing about last year having to play one.
If we just didn't have to play Ohio State, we're in the college football playoff. Yeah. If we just schedule somebody...
That's
we have
a good
this, like, everything he does, and then the complaints about they were in the playoff 2 years ago and they lost, and he talked about... I just saw a clip from his coach's show, and he was like, man, people don't understand the grind that we had to go through. We had to play Texas A&M on the road. We had to play Georgia in the SEC title game. We had a dogfight with Clemson in a playoff game. Then we had to go to double overtime against Arizona State, and then we had to go against Ohio State. People don't understand that grind, and I'm thinking on the other side of that, like, what did Ohio State do then? So they had to play Michigan, had a heartbreaking loss. No, they did not have to play in a conference championship game. Tennessee was this up and coming. Oh, look out. They smoked them in the playoff. Then they smoked Oregon in the playoff. Like, when you get to the end of the year, guess what everybody's going to have to do? Play a really tough stretch of games week after week after week after week. It's not easy to overcome. And yet you're using as an excuse of why you haven't been able to get over the hump. There just always seems to be some sort of like, well, yeah, but instead of just saying it's not good enough and we need to be better and end of conversation. And so Sark is like, I think you kind of hit all the bases there. I do still feel Texas Tech is a villain in the sport.
I'll throw Sark in there. That's
but
a good
Sark
one.
Is the only other one that
you.
I'm
That's
like, he just, the way he excuses things when it doesn't go his way drives me nuts. And to your point on like, would Oregon ever do some of this stuff? I'm sure they would. Do college football shady. You do whatever you possibly can to win. There is an aspect though of Lanning being the head coach that I'm genuinely like, not that he hasn't in a roundabout way, I guess, in offseason, like podcast said, well, you know, the break didn't help or something like that. The long layoff before the Ohio
but
State
he,
game.
He didn't say, like, we lost because,
of that. It's like,
we still got to go out
there
and perform. And
other teams had to deal with it, too, and we got to deal with it. So what? That's not an excuse.
Right.
There's an appreciation for having a coach who doesn't seemingly do that when things don't go perfectly and go your way.
So, yeah, I'm with you on Sark. I'll add him to the list. And I don't really care much about Texas, right? Like, I know they're important to the sport and what they mean and all
right.
that, but like, I don't largely care. I was thinking about, now that you were like giving me the list and I'm giving you my list, you know, the NFL, does the NFL lack this?
Do they have enough villains?
Give me, who are your NFL villains? Because I went through and I was thinking about, the NBA gives them to me.
Without a doubt.
I got Dylan Brooks buying a courtside seat to a Laker game because of how much he despises and loathes and wants to troll LeBron James.
Russell Westbrook was this for the majority of his career.
For a lot of fans.
Whether it's fair or not, that was just kind of the way he was
Chris
viewed.
Paul was a little bit of this, right? Like, kind of elbowing people quietly and getting away with being a little bit of a dirty player at
That's
his size.
That's a great question. Who are the villains this year?
Who is the villain of the National Football League?
Is it Vrabel in the Patriots this year because of the Rossini stuff, or do we not care about that?
I mean, do you hate Vrabel?
I don't hate him.
It's terrible. It's not a good story. You don't want to be a part of it, and he's not really publicly acknowledged all of what it is. He's like dancing around it, but like, do you hate the Patriots and Vrabel? If you don't have like a rival, like Seahawks hate the Niners, Niners hate the Seahawks.
Yeah,
the
that's
Rams
a different
hate the Niners.
Thing. That's, yeah,
those
that's
are
different.
Divisional rivalries, right? Like, take that away.
That's
who
really good
are
question.
The true villains of the National Football League?
Deshaun Watson would be one, but he's so bad and irrelevant that it's almost kind of lost its luster
he's
of him
a pariah,
as a villain.
Not even a villain. It's like, get out of the league. Don't exist. Yeah. You don't deserve to be playing pro sports.
It's a great point. It's one of the arguments I've made since the inception and now demise of LIV Golf, that's one of the biggest things golf has missed. They lost all of their villains.
Right, but like, at least in even that, like Bryson would pop up at a major.
You still get him at a major, and you get him four times a year, right? Or Patrick Reed and his cheating shenanigans, or Brooks Koepka, and the, you know, I don't care about non-major tournaments. Like, there was always an edge to the tour that you lost when a lot of those guys left. It's a great question. I'm looking up and down NFL teams.
Part of what makes college great, aside from how different it is than all of the other stuff, the pageantry, whatnot, like, even though it's big boy business now, and it's basically the minor leagues of the NFL.
Yes.
You still get attached to the coaches or the personalities and the faces of the programs. Even with the portal and the money, it's still coaching driven. And I think you get this in college basketball too. You have the coaches you hate and you have the coaches you root for and ones you never want to see win. The NFL is weird that way. We know all the coaches' names. Some are louder than others. Is there any you hate?
Not really, no.
You know, you know, one of the coaches I like the most in the entire league is my team's rival coach.
Yeah.
Mike McDonald's great. McVay is great.
They're both great.
They're fantastic. I can't really hate them.
You know who the biggest villain was probably the last 2 years?
Who?
It was probably Taylor Swift. Is that not a fair assessment? Like, the one thing that we all kind of unified together on football fans of like, God, get her off of my TV. It's a third down.
So, God, you might be right. Who have I hated more than...
And I'm not even saying you did it.
It
was an annoyance.
It became an annoyance,
All right, I get it. She's there. She's in a... Look at that. She high-fived after her Chiefs touchdown.
Can you think of a real villain in the NFL? If Deshaun Watson's just a pariah that's gross that nobody wants attached to the league.
The Cowboys are this for a long time, I think, because of the narrative and how much people talked about them. And did they deserve that level of coverage?
A true villain?
A true villain in the NFL.
I don't blame Taylor Swift because her, I mean, her going to see her fiance's games is...
Well, it's more that, the networks than it is her.
It's not her fault.
Yeah. It's not her fault. Supporting... That's the TV networks, and I can separate those two things. I'm not mad at
it.
Taylor
might be
Swift.
Broadcasters. It, could, that's, it yeah. might be Brady and Romo.
Brady and Romo.
Because they're getting the one game.
I think Brady also because he was trying to be the owner of the Raiders. And yeah.
I have come to, and you know me, I've defended Brady. I've been a Brady boy.
Tom's braids getting on your bad side.
Well, it's this WWE crap. It's these leather pants ads. It's the constant plastic
surgery.
He knocked
maybe the best current NFL game analyst out of the one chair.
Yeah. He's pretending to be an owner, but who's not prioritized. I just...
Yeah.
Yeah, I've soured on him.
Speaking of which, did you see the Romo acknowledgement yesterday? Did you read a statement?
Oh, yeah, I read it, yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah, he played no contest.
Didn't we?
Assumed.
Pain pills, back injuries, alcohol. I mean, addiction's real, man.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Tiger, yes, it is. Tiger cut a plea deal.
Yeah, Tiger cut his plea deal today.
He should lose his license forever.
Yeah. 5 years.
5 years?
License.
Like, what are we doing?
And a $1,000 fine.
How about never again? You're worth $1 billion.
What's the equivalent to fining me the equivalent of fining Tiger $1,000? A penny?
I think legitimately like a nickel.
I think less
nickel?
Than a
nickel. Less than a penny?
Less than a penny.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. He's a billionaire.
Imagine doing that. You get in a car accident. Hey, we're going to need one penny fine from you. All right, fine.
Dude, is it Taylor Swift?
I think it's Taylor Swift
or
and broadcasters. I think it's one and two. Yeah.
I think it's the broadcasters.
It's Kirk Herbstreit. It's Al Michaels asleep on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Like, yeah. There's not that angle of the player side that I didn't even think about until you brought that up of just Belichick was probably this at the end
it's
of his
either
career
that
when he was still with
he
the Pats.
He was for me.
Or the,
yeah.
or the use of the replay system.
Yeah, how long it takes to get calls in.
Yeah, but is that a villain? I mean, I don't know if that's a villain for me. It's a, can you clean it up?
It's the idea of collectively rooting against, like coming together against and rooting against something because college football is delivering that in spades this year. Like, you're obviously LSU fans will feel differently, but anybody outside of that bubble, we're all kind of on the same train, are we not? Like, this would be funny if it crashed.
Oh,
we're all rooting for a little bit of the train
amount of
wreck.
Money they've like, spent to get to this point.
Like, yeah, that'd be
a
kind of funny.
$50 million roster on top of firing Brian Kelly, on top of hiring Lane Kiffin.
You go 3-3 to start the year. That's kind of funny. It's kind of funny, right? Like, we're all kind of collectively rooting for that.
Yeah, I can dislike Dabo, and I'm going to laugh my ass off if Clemson beats LSU on Saturday.
Right? We're all going to be sitting at home like, this is hilarious, dude. LSU fans are freaking out. Yeah, it's a great. What is the biggest villain in the NFL? 503-864-6326.
I'm trying to think of a player.
People
Who's
are texting
in.
We're getting a lot of Mahomes is getting texted in, and I get
Mahomes
it.
Mahomes is a villain, huh?
I think to the point that I made, you're like, people just get tired of winning. Like, okay, enough. Can we give somebody else a chance here? Really, three straight? You got to win 4 in 5 years. It's not enough for you.
Okay.
Let somebody
but
else win one.
He got kind of humbled last year. He got hurt, and his team sucked. And...
Yes, I'd say he got humbled going back to the, like, starting in the Super Bowl all the way to where he is now.
Hard to say a guy gets humbled by getting to his third straight Super Bowl, but I mean, they were terrible last year. They had to kind of mini blow it up. They're coming in with questions at weapons, questions about him because he had that camp video where he hit his center in the back of the head. Like, there's, you know, we talked about how I'm not a fear factor anymore. Like,
right.
The Chiefs are a good team. You respect them for such, but they don't quite put that fear into you the way they did a couple years ago.
Right.
I understand why people would say it. I don't know if I'm there on him.
The moment he lost to Allen in the race, I can't remember what the call was.
I'm more annoyed of everybody around him.
Yeah, no, there's no
brother,
doubt about that.
Wife.
The moment he lost me was, I can't remember the call at the end of the game, but they had a regular season game against the Bills. I think it was the year after the 13-second game.
Yeah, he cried.
And he ran over to Allen instead of just saying, good game, man. It was like, I've never seen anything like that before, man. It's the worst call of my
life. The offsides
call. He was just like,
on offense.
Come on, man.
Right. You finally got beat by Allen.
Come on, man.
And instead of giving him his love, like he has to give you in the playoffs at the most heartbreaking moment.
I scored and then you scored with
you
13 seconds
daff
left.
Him and you're offside.
Like, it's the worst call ever. Like that was
point.
A bit of a B move.
That's a
Roger Goodell getting texted in. What is the biggest villain? I'm
finding him kind of like.
You like Roger Goodell?
I think in the last few years, he's turned around.
Whoa.
Not good.
No? You don't agree?
Let's stick in the NFL. I'm gonna read some text on the other side. Also, something we've never seen in the history of the NFL, an underdog of this size. I'll explain, and we'll get to that a little more NFL talk next on the fight. All right, welcome back in, 8:29. And we got Saturday Story coming up, final hour of the show. Reminder, tomorrow, Jamarcus Shepherd will be on the program.
7 a.m., bright and early.
7 a.m. sharp, dude. It's going to be great. We'll talk to him. Their opening game is early Saturday morning.
I have a random question to throw at him from Hood to Coast that I was asking people. Would he rather have $1,000 or a honey bucket?
$1,000 or a honey bucket.
What do you think he says there?
I think he's going to go honey bucket.
He might go honey bucket right on the field.
I think he's going to go honey. Yeah, right there.
You got to go.
Yeah, the idea of pooping or peeing during the middle of a football game is not a great. I mean, remember when Lamar?
During a game?
Remember when Lamar pooped his pants?
Practice.
Monday Night Football, Lamar pooped his pants. He ran to the locker room and then came back out and beat the Browns on Monday Night Football. And we all pretended like it was an injury. He was totally pooping his pants.
Yeah, at least he didn't Paul Pierce it and pretend it was a knee injury and it'd be carried
Willis
off.
Willis Reed on a wheelchair and then I'd come back out.
Come back and score 20 or whatever it was.
We were asking the biggest villains in the NFL, and it was I had never really thought about it from that angle of it. Certain players were a lot like Josh Jacobs. Like, there's certain pariahs
now.
Well,
yeah, there's guys who commit crimes that we don't. A villain to me is not necessarily a crime committer. It's they do things during games or say stuff all week that bothers you.
There's a couple of good ones, though. Somebody texted in, how about Harrison Handmaid's Tale Bucker?
That's a great one. I actually root for him to miss every kick.
These ones are solid, though. Somebody texted in, any backwards hat quarterback from Colin Cowherd. Thanks for listening, Colin. Good morning
That includes
you.
Super Bowl champion Sam Darnold, by
that
the way.
That it does. Aaron Rodgers got chimed in a bunch. He certainly has become a bit of a lightning rod. I can understand that angle.
High-stepping celebration over Fauci, you know, not disclosing any answers was a bit much with, like, zero actual evidence that he was right, but he's, like, right. I don't have to agree with Aaron Rodgers. What I'm saying about Aaron Rodgers' final year, even though I don't think they're going to be very good, I'm going to appreciate the final year of watching Aaron Rodgers play football. Will it be pretty? No. Will it be what it was in Green Bay? Absolutely not. But it's his final year playing the sport. I can appreciate one of the all-time greats going out, but I understand people that don't like him.
This was a solid one that I think we all collectively came together on, and that was the Eagles and their tush-push was a villain for a while. Like, that's all we talked about. Like, will they change the rules? Should it be allowed?
That's a great one.
Jumping off sides. Yeah. They're not even lining up correctly. We can't officiate it right.
But again, you're proving
it's an unfair
my point.
Play.
A play.
Yes, it's
you're
a play.
You're giving me a play as a villain, and I agree with the point. But if we're getting to Taylor Swift or broadcasters, and some people, Mahomes has been texting, Buck text us, Richard Sherman.
Yeah, Richard Sherman was a good one.
He was kind of that guy for a long time. Like, that's a great example.
His Aaron Andrews interview, if you're a Seahawks fan, you loved it. Anybody else was like, dude, dial it back
Super
a little
Bowl.
Bit.
I mean, when you talk like that and you win, it's hard to get mad at somebody. But who is the Richard Sherman of the NFL? The loudest talker, can back it up, but you want to see him humbled? This is my point. It's kind of crazy that the lack of villains in
Cam
the
Newton
sport.
Was that way for a bit for people. Yeah.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
Or ready.
Yeah, ready.
Yeah.
Oh, you see that on film? Now watch this. That was an all time moment.
I mean, that's even if you hated
that
Cam, that's
cool.
A great moment.
That was pretty cool. I saw this yesterday and I thought, I know they're gonna be bad. I know they have no chance, but is it deserving of this long of odds?
Rasheed Rice in a car.
people don't forget. We have a team in the NFC who has the worst odds of the last 25 years to win the conference.
Repeat that.
No team has had longer odds to win the NFC in the last 25 years than this team does this year.
Arizona Cardinals.
It is the Arizona Cardinals. Their odds to win the NFC are 200-1 over the last 25 years. Those are the worst preseason odds of any NFC team to win the conference. This is not a Cardinal-based segment because there's no need to talk about the Arizona Cardinals.
Did you see Marvin Harrison's one-hand catch?
I think we all acknowledge they're going to finish in last place in the division, and if they don't, something went horrifically wrong.
The Niners probably had all the injuries.
Right? Like, uh-oh, what happened there? But it does lead me to the question, and it's like, just because it happened last year, it's kind of the Indiana thing, right? Like, just because we saw an outlier, quote-unquote, year last year, it doesn't mean it will happen again this year. But a year ago, as of now, nobody was talking about a Seattle-New England Super Bowl. Seattle was fine. They just missed the playoffs. You had a good coach. See, the Darnold thing works out. All right, New England. Okay, Vrabel's an established guy, but Drake May had a lot of faults as a rookie. We were not talking about them in the way of, like, they could be competing for championships, right, a year ago today. So it's not a – I just chuckled at that with Arizona being the worst odds in the last 25 years in the NFC to win the conference, and I don't blame anybody for having those odds so long.
Mm-hmm.
Who are our sleeper teams this year? When you look around of,
oh,
like, man
–
there's a dozen
of them, right?
That you could pick, but who are the main candidates atop your head of, like, I could absolutely see them making a jump this year into not just, like, hey, they went from 3 wins to 8 wins.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Into, like, they're an actual – not contending for a championship, but a playoff contender.
I think the Saints are at the top of that list, partly because their division.
Saints are number one on your big board?
So unsure.
Second best quarterback in the division.
Could be.
Tell the Shuck.
People don't forget.
Don't jump on my Shuck train.
What are we doing with Atlanta?
I mean, you almost have to eliminate the NFC North. There's not one in there.
NFC North doesn't count. Did you see, by the way, the Tua thing yesterday on social media?
No. Now what?
He got caught doing a Stephen A. Smith or Skip. I can't remember who did it
years
ago.
Scratching his butt and smelling it?
Not that, but kind of in a social media context, he posted for the A.
Oh, no.
And then responded with his own account. You got it this year, Tua. We love you. We're behind you.
Is that him or is that an agent?
Forgot to log out into the burner account. Coming up.
Did you see Stephen A. get all mad that Barack Obama won't come on his podcast?
Do you know who I am?
I've had 60 guests.
I'm Stephen A.
You know who won't say yes? I'm Barack Obama.
I'm a Republican
president. For an endorsement? Is that what he's fishing for?
You know, here's a really tough follow-up, okay? Because the NFL does provide us so many great
There'll be two
surprises.
Or three of them this year.
The Colts were the surprise to start the year last year.
I don't think
right?
we
got it out.
We're not classifying the Lions in that, are
Listen,
we?
No, I'm eliminating the entire NFC North.
Yes.
You know, I just don't see it with the Giants. I just don't. I have too many questions about too many spots. Maybe next year they load into that, but not this year. The Commanders are one for me.
Yeah.
Everybody's counting them out. I've been listening to the NFL pods. It's like their offensive line sucks.
Talk about a villain. Jaden Daniels kind of became that for a few weeks with the number five thing. Everybody collectively was like, you're a jackass.
No doubt. I'm getting kind of hard-pressed to identify it, to be quite honest with you. Like, who is it?
It's tough.
Are you
Nobody
going Titans?
Right.
Are you Titans making you feel great that they're going to jump into the Patriot category of
they did the thing bad rookie quarterback
from you know last to best or all that? But like to me, it's more how much do these other teams fall off to open it up for the teams we're not considering enough? Like I just and hold this one of many football takes that probably age poorly. With the Cooper stuff now and the one score wins. I just don't see the Broncos winning 14 games. So that's a fall off in my head. Now, it doesn't have to be a 9-win team.
14-12, 14-11.
That's two more wins, right? That's separated somewhere else. The Seahawks, to me, as good as they are, 14-3 again? That's asking a lot. The Rams, even as loaded as they are, 14-3. Those are hard seasons to have to only lose three games. And so I just think it's going to be the fall. It's going to be the runoff of these teams that don't win the same amount.
But who are they losing those games to? Are they losing them to other good teams? Or do they throw a stinker in somewhere?
Seattle and Denver playing first place schedules now does change the equation.
The thing that sucks is like you can't say Cincinnati and Baltimore here.
No. Does Dallas count?
They were in the playoffs 2 years ago.
They were.
And it,
but them jumping into contention would be a spot we haven't necessarily seen.
No,
them
because
like
they've been
in a while.
Thrown in contention in my life for basically my entire existence.
Right.
So even in their worst years, when Quincy Carter's the quarterback and we're like, there's still somehow kind of a anything here.
Right.
No, but like, no, because they're always talked about in this way.
Yeah. It is funny because it's the same conversation we have in college football where we know a top 10 team's going to fall out. Happens every year. Somebody falls on their – and every year in the NFL, there is a – 2 years ago, it was the Commanders with Jaden Daniels, number two overall pick.
NFC
and they were in
game.
The NFC title game.
Yeah.
Last year, it was New England, who nobody was talking about at this moment. And then they lost to the Raiders in their first game at home.
Yeah.
The Seahawks lost to the Niners in their first game at home.
They did.
And a late turnover in that game. And so nobody was having that – like, you know somebody's going to do it. But the idea of pinpointing it is incredibly difficult. I was on their train last year. I'm jumping back on the Giants train. They are one of the candidates for me. I'm a believer in Dart if he can stay healthy. You're healthy again at wide receiver, at least you hope.
Can
as
I
of
ask
now.
You what makes you a believer in him? Because quarterbacks are interesting bunches of like why
no
we
doubt.
Buy into some and some others we don't.
I think he has the ability to make – he has to show – he's very similar in the Caleb conversation for me of like he has to show that he can consistently play in the constraints of the offense. And if he could do that, he has the ability to extend – and make plays that not many quarterbacks can make. He's a good athlete. He's a well-built guy. Mm-hmm. Like, there's an aspect of stopping him that's difficult because of his ability to play backyard football. He just has to show down in and down out, game in and game out, one, that he could stay healthy and not ram his head into defenders the entire game, and two, play within the constraints of the offense. But I like what they have at running back. You're healthy again at wide receiver, at least going, you know, at some point early in the season. Defensively, that was not a huge issue. So the Giants to me are a candidate that could jump into contention.
So Giants and Saints are two teams we've thrown out now.
Those are the two.
If there's a Patriot-like team, because it's one thing to say Seahawks make the playoffs, it's another to put them in a Super Bowl category.
Yes.
I also wonder which teams take a bigger leap. Like, I'm not a Bryce Young guy in any stretch, but does Carolina take a step this year?
Yeah.
They were really good in some of their bigger games. They struggled against divisional foes. They made the playoffs by Atlanta winning. Like, they didn't earn that.
Damn near beat the Rams in their wild card game.
I'd put Minnesota in this category for me of, like, legitimate contenders this year. And
yes.
I can't believe I'm saying that because I'm not a big Kyler guy, but with the weapons there paired with all of what it is defensively with Flores, I don't know how you don't consider a team like Minnesota.
Yeah, I'd be curious. Who are the sleepers out there? We got a couple coming in, 503-864-6326. We could talk a little bit more NFL on the other side. Got a little bit of audio to go with it. Top of the hour, we got some more college football stuff in the notes. And then we, of course, got Stat or Story coming up at 927. Back after this, 105.1 FM The Fam. Enjoy this text. Is Shepherd on at 7 because Oregon State's the number 2 team in the country?
Jeez, oh Pete!
Could they or could
I
they
mean,
not be? The dirty poll revealed tomorrow.
Come on now.
I don't know.
If Oregon's not on this top 12.
Nobody's giving us a chance, dude. I'm telling you. Not even the dirty poll believes
not
in
even
the Ducks.
You.
Not even the dirty poll as the Ducks in the
we
top 5.
We all know what you're going to do tomorrow. We all can see this coming a mile away.
What am I going to do tomorrow?
You're telling us they're the best team, but you don't want to say it out loud because you don't want to jinx anything. So they're going to come in at number 2.
We want your piece.
Just to name another team that you kind of believe in, but you don't think is close to your team. And then when they win the title, like, dude, we didn't. Nobody counted. Everybody counted us out.
How is the electrical substation as an NFL villain?
It's a great one as a Niner fan. That's a very good one. Thank you.
It's a pretty good one right now.
Jed York and Hookers.
It's
a good villain.
Or fake players.
Not great.
What an offseason, dude. What an offseason for the 49ers.
The only good thing that's happened, well, two good things have happened this season. Not three good things. Okay, there we go. Three. Number one, Deebo Samuel's back. Seems right. I don't expect a lot from him, but him and Trent Williams with the boom
box. Dude, his numbers were fine last year, too.
Like, he was good.
We act like he fell off. It's just because the Commanders sucked.
He stayed healthy.
Yes.
So that was great. Number two, George Kittle on track to play, which is insane.
Wild. Yeah, he and Bosa are on the plane.
Okay. And number three, easily number one of all those things. Kyle Shanahan stash. I mean, that's a
good looking mustache.
It's a good stash.
Some thoughts coming in here at the fan text line. People worried about Carolina, their offensive line. They're going to struggle. Don't put your money on them this year.
I'm just pointing out a team that, like,
which teams
take that leap. You guys gave great ones. Saints, I think Shuck's the second best quarterback in that that division. You're going Giants, which is kind of ballsy, in my opinion.
I did it last year, and I died. Now I'm going to do it again. I'm double downing.
That's right.
I picked the Giants to be a wild card team last year.
I picked the Raiders.
A little concerned with some of the injuries for New Orleans to start the season.
Certainly.
Hopefully they don't last all season long.
Going Vikings doesn't feel...
No, that doesn't count.
Yeah, right?
They were above 500 last year. People are texting in, I think the Chargers will take a step this year. Like, that's different to me in saying you went... The Broncos were that last year, right? 2 years ago, they made the playoff. They got smoked by the Bills in their first playoff game. They took a step. They beat Buffalo. They made it to the AFC title game. Maybe win the whole thing if their quarterback stays healthy.
Yeah.
That's different than saying who are the teams that take a step as opposed to who are the teams that kind of come out of nowhere.
Well, and the come out of nowhere thing is this. Name six teams that didn't make the playoffs that you think will make the playoffs this year because that's the average. Six.
Every
That's
year.
Hard.
Every year.
You go Baltimore, Cincy just off the top.
Right.
Right?
I
you
would
could go
Saints.
New Orleans.
I would go Dallas because, you know, I'm high on the Cowboys
Dallas
this year.
Dallas is a good one. That's four right there. You like the Giants, so I'll give you five.
Giants would be in that. Vikings would
like
be a
the Vikings.
Candidate.
There's yeah, six.
There's six right there.
Lions are also in this.
Tampa Bay didn't make the playoffs last year.
That's right.
So if they win the NFC South, they would be it.
So to make the playoffs from not making the playoffs, there is like 8 to 9 of those teams.
Lions, technically,
yeah.
would count in that category.
So it's just to me what's harder is to see is last year kind of a sort of a one-off of true Super Bowl championship level type out of nowhere versus the teams that either take the step, fall a little bit, or make the playoffs, but we think they can make the playoffs.
A couple of more thoughts here on the villain idea. Somebody texting in, Ndamukong Suh is a villain. That's a good one. He was certainly that for a bit. Known as a dirty player, some of the hits, the stepping on guys. Like he carried that label for a
that
minute.
That was during the Richard Sherman
It was
era,
same time,
a little
yeah.
before and around the same time. Like we had villains I don't know if we have villains right now.
Aaron Donald is my villain, one texter said. Only comes back because they got Myles Garrett and a chance to win a Super Bowl and set it for the love of the game. I love that. That's funny. Sean Payton is a prick, so I'm assuming that means
you think
Sean Payton's a villain.
Payton's a good villain.
Can fall into that category. Yeah. Stephon Diggs or Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk currently out of the league. Well, not technically. He's under contract, but not playing. And
Diggs is a good one.
Diggs is a pretty solid one.
Yeah, Diggs is not great.
He's not had a great run off the field with different things, although some of it he's been exonerated of, right? Didn't he get exonerated
well,
the gal?
The chef. She clearly was trying to milk him for money.
But then another one came out about Diggs, right?
Yeah.
But is that somebody jumping
on? Just because
on?
One thing is wrong doesn't mean the next one isn't or isn't right. You know what I mean?
And to the idea of the sleeper pick, I mean, this one would be a shocker, but maybe nothing should shock us anymore in the NFL. Put it on the board. The Raiders are my sleeper pick.
I did it last year, dude. Don't do it.
Yeah, careful.
I do think Mendoza gets in there like week five. And, you know, he's going to take his lumps. He's going to have some good moments, but largely they're not going to be good enough, in my opinion. But I like it. I went Raiders last year thinking the Carroll thing, the Kelly thing, the Geno thing.
Here we go.
Woof. And I felt good after week one. They beat the freaking Patriots.
The AFC champion New England Patriots.
If you would have told me after winning that Spraggan line pick that the Raiders were only going to win one more game the rest of the year and the Pats would only lose two more games the rest of the year, I would have thought you were nutso.
Never would have believed you. It's funny, too, because my initial reaction to that would be to say, team surprise us, no doubt. Look at that division and how challenging it is. But in the face of that argument is literally the team that won the Super Bowl last year, because if you would have told me Seattle was going to take that big of a jump, I would have said, yeah, but you got to get through the Niners and the Rams. The Niners have been established. They've been a winner at a high level for a long time. They got a good coach, and the Rams have been the Rams, and they got Stafford. Like, that's a hard division to win, and what did Seattle do?
Well, you might have also said...
They won 14 games and won the NFC West and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, if I told you, Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl this year, you might have said, I don't see it, or you would have said, like the 10-7, 11-6 wild card team.
Sneak in, get hot at the right
14
time.
14-3.
Overwhelmingly favorite. Yeah.
One or two best defense in the whole league. Darnold's going to throw for 4,500 yards, and JSN's going to smash the leading, you know, yardage as a receiver. I don't know if you would have believed me.
Somebody saying Ben Johnson made himself Matt LaFleur's villain for some reason. That's a good pull. That has become
a fun
little...
See, that's a great rivalry.
Under the radar rivalry.
LaFleur kind of refuses to participate in it, and Ben Johnson just keeps calling him out by name.
He keeps feeding into it, dude. It's just a reminder, like we had the Tonger came in during a break talking about college football a couple segments ago, just the idea of how excited we are for college football to fully kick off this week. This week it kind of dawned, or I should say today, kind of dawned on me of like, man, 1 week from today.
Yeah.
1 week from today, we're going to be gearing up for the opening night game between Seattle and New England. And it'll all be back, and we'll have football Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday, Thursday, and then on into the next week. And we're there, man. We're there.
I know.
1 week from today, it is all officially underway. I got to get the Survivor pool up and running. I keep saying that. I keep forgetting to do it. I got to do that. I got to send out the
email. I don't know if I'm in.
You don't want to do it this year?
I've had a very expensive August. And I know it's like, what, $50?
$50 buy-in. Come on, man.
I'm still like, damn.
Come on, man. Wait till half the pool is wiped out in week one.
It's probably going to be me. That's me.
There's not a lot of candidates in week one for picks. One of the primary ones is probably Chargers and Cardinals. Has to be, right? Has to be. And if they lose that game...
You're going to gamble against Jacoby Brissett, Marvin Harrison Jr., and
the irony there is
Mr. Sophia Wilson.
The guy who blew up the Survivor pool more than maybe any individual in my time running a Survivor pool is Jacoby Brissett in his time at New England when they beat Cincinnati in week one 2 years ago.
That's all I'm pointing out.
And 75% of the pool was eliminated because everybody took the same game. It was Cincinnati over New England, and he wiped the entire thing out. It is almost here, ladies and gentlemen. Villains, who are they in the NFL? Also, we know a handful of teams will surprise. It's just a difficult thing pinpointing exactly which ones will do it. We have a lot to get to in the final hour of the radio program. I got some more college football stuff in my notes. We got some more leftover audio that we didn't get to earlier in the cafe, so we'll dive into that. And then, of course, Saturday Story at 9:27 right around the corner. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.